world's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. Morning. Good morning. What is show number 2613? 2613 of these shows. I was doing some podcasts even before we got at this one. It's taken a while to build an audience. That's why I tip my cap to guys like Adam out there and others who are trying to do podcasts and get up and running. I just want to encourage you, man. It takes a long time. It takes a long time to build an audience. It's even harder to keep one. Because can I tell you the truth? I got to stop saying that because I always try to tell you the truth. If people don't agree with you, they won't hang around long. And we all have our strong set of beliefs. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing. But what we try to do here is challenge those beliefs. What's our theme? Anybody out there help me out? What's our theme here? You don't have to come in. Who told you that and why do you believe them? And that, in fact, is religion. 42,000 different denominations because somebody told them that and they believed it and they don't look any other way. So I come here as an open, I don't know guy. I don't know. And I'm not afraid to look and say, who taught me that and why do I believe it? For years and years and years, I was in the Catholic Church and did the Our Father and the Hail Mary and took the communion and did the Stations of the Cross. And I did all that stuff. And then all of a sudden, I got born again to the Spirit of God and I started to look at things a little bit differently. Say, whoa, I don't know about that. And I got to confess to a priest. And can I throw this one at you? Oh, are you sitting down, Catholic? It's going to make you mad. I want to know how a man who's a priest, who's never been married, how can he give me advice on marriage? Can somebody help me with that one? Never been married, never had children, and he's going to give me marriage advice? I'd rather go to Ray LeBlanc. I got a better chance of getting from Ray LeBlanc or maybe some of you I shouldn't talk to, but you know what I'm talking about, right? So a lot of the things I've been trained with and brought up with, I question. And I hope you will too, because, you know, we're caught up in this end times mess that we're in. And I don't know if it's the end times and you don't know if it's the end times. And Jesus said, you hypocrites, why can't you read the signs of the time? There's a lot of things out there that we can read as the signs of the time. But have you ever said to somebody else, that isn't what I meant? You guys ever have to say that to somebody? They did something, they ran with it, and then they accused you of something. Say, dude, that wasn't what I meant. Is it possible that some of our translations or interpretations, Jesus today say, dude, that's not what I meant. That's not what I meant. And the multitude of many consciences is great wisdom. So I want to jump into some stuff here that's, I think, is really, really important. And I believe the Holy Spirit gave it to me today. And I wonder this. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Because I'm going to step on this bug today. Pull up the number one thing. Hey, stop. Quiz time. Everybody get out their pencil and paper. Everybody get ready. Okay. Here's a question for you today. You ready? What is a Semite? Because often they accuse me of being anti-Semitic and say, oh, no, I don't hate the Jews. No. Does anybody know what a Semite is? Anybody out there want to try to explain to me what a Semite is? If I'm anti that, I ought to know what it is. If they're going to call me that, I ought to know
what it means. The genetic offspring of Shem.
So a Semite, just so you know, because they're going to call you this, okay? What is the historical definition of a Semite? And how has it changed over time? All right, so let's go down real quickly. Definition is, the word Semite began as an 18th century scholarly label derived from the biblical name Shem to a group of family of related languages now called Semitic languages. Over the 19th century, it was radicalized and politicized so that today, the linguistic sense is the scholarly norm, while the political term anti-Semitism commonly refers specifically to hostility towards Jews. And not all Jews, not all Jews are Semites. Okay, hang on. So the history of the term is therefore sort of a shifting of disciplines. Biblical lore, get that off their screen. Comparative linguistics, racial theories, modern politics, each leaving legible traces in how the word is used and abused. So what is a Semite? Scrolling down a little bit. Because they're going to accuse you of this. And you better know this, friends. When they call you anti-Semitic, you better know this. The root word for Shem, Hebrew Shem, one of Noah's sons in Genesis. He was Shem. And European scholars in the late 18th century formalized the biblical genealogy into a linguistic label. Augustus Ludwig von Schlachter and some other guy credited with coining or popularizing Semitic for a group of languages in the 1780s. Do you understand this, friends? So the 1780s, there was no such thing as Semitic. There's no such thing. They made it up in 1780. Contemporary dictionaries and encyclopedias trace the new Latin and Greek forms back to the biblical name and record a first scholarly usage in 1780. The word Semite was never used until 1780. It's a new word. So it in its most stable scholarly sense, Semite, and more commonly Semitic. You ready? Sitting down? Denotes speakers of the Semitic branch of Afro-Asiatic languages. If you are a Semite, you speak Hebrew, Arabic, Aramaic, Amharic, Tigrinya, and others, which have ancient attestations across Mesopotamia, the Levant, and the Arabian Peninsula, going back to the 3rd and 2nd millennia BC. Modern references works emphasize that this linguistic classification is the appropriate scientific usage and that the label groups diverse people by language, family, and not a single ethnic type. So let me hang on. When somebody's calling you anti-Semitic, they're telling you that you're anti-Hebrew, Arabic, Aramaic, Amharic, Tigrinya, and others. It's not, it ain't got nothing to do with Jews, folks. Sorry. It's a term they grabbed. In the 19th century, the drift from language to race. Adam, give me a thumbs up. You picking this up, Adam? Huh? Are you picking this up? During the 19th century, the linguistic term was folded into emerging racial theories, producing a Semite that was described in racial, physical, and cultural terms by scholars and popular writers, and an innovation bound up with continental debates over Aryan and other racial categories. Race theorists and political agitators, most normally William Marr in 1870, politicized the notion of Semite and created the modern political label anti-Semitism, which in practice and public imagination came to mean hostility towards Jews. Did you guys know that? That was a made-up term specifically given to people who were being critical of the Jews. Did you know that? I didn't know that. When was that? Yeah, 1870? Okay, so I'm not going to spend all day on this, but put in the chat. You better know this. Anti-Semite. If you're anti-Semite, who are you? Who am I against? Go back up here, Spencer. Scroll back up. If I'm anti-Semite, I ain't got nothing to do with the Jews. I'm against Hebrews, Arabics, Aramaics, Amharic, Tigrinya, and others. If I'm anti-Semite. Somebody get Vinny, boom time. Why? So now they've used that label. What? 1850. They've now used that label to stop anybody who says anything critical of Judaism. Thumbs up. Come on, bunch of thumbs up. And see, control the language, control the world. Change the words, change the world. And now anybody who speaks out against Jews is anti-Semitic. Mm. Huh? There is no such thing. Are you looking at me? There is no such thing as a Judeo-Christian. There is no such thing as a Judeo-Christian. That's all made up. Somebody getting nervous? So that's not what my pastor told me. Pastor Billy Bob, that's not what he told me. He told me Jews were the Semite. Yeah, right? What's the theme, Coach Dave Life? who taught you that and why you believe him? Okay, so there you go. So where are you going, Coach? I'm going someplace today. Stay with me here. Let me get the hand. See if anybody got the hand up. Oh my God, they already want to interrupt me. Just kidding, Adam. Just kidding, James. Bear with me a second. So how about this one? If I ask you right now for $40, if Ray LeBlanc was going to pay you $40, could you guys right now name the 12 tribes of Israel? I know the answer. No. No, you couldn't. You couldn't. But so, because I'm such a nice guy, I'm going to name them for you. Say, Coach, I never knew that. I know you didn't. The 12 tribes of Israel and their biblical meanings. Scroll down a little bit, who is it? Huh? No, the other way. I'm sorry. Go to the top, Spence. Right there. Who were the 12 tribes? The 12 sons of Jacob. The 12 sons of Jacob. And they've been family. These are brothers. These are family members. Reuben. What? Tribe of Reuben. Tribe of Simeon. Son of Levi. Tribe of Judah. Tribe of Dan. Tribe of Naphtali. Tribe of Gad. Tribe of Asher. Tribe of Issachar. Tribe of Zebulun. Tribe of Joseph, and the tribe of Benjamin. These are listed by birth order according to Genesis. Firstborn is Reuben and Simeon. By the way, you do know this, don't you? Judah became what we call today Jews. And Jesus was out of the lineage of Judah. But the question we have to ask ourselves is, are any of these other tribes, are they not children of God? Men of Issachar who understood the times in which they lived and knew what Israel should do? What, are they stepchildren? They don't matter? Now, I'm not going to go down through this. I'm not going to waste time on it, but I want to put in the chat, so do some self-study here. Scroll down a little bit, Spence, and look at all the information here about the tribes, what happened to the tribes, and there's a great picture. There's where they all went. And Jesus was what? He was from the tribe of Judah. Judah. Oh, man, I got so much stuff to show you. Go to number 8. I bet you didn't know this. Spencer's going to pull up. Guys, you know what patrilineal are? Matrilineal are? Anybody out there know what that is? Say, Coach, no, you're making up words. No, I'm not making up words. Scroll down a little bit here, Spence. Did you know that in Jewish tradition, there it is, patrilineal systems pass names and property through the father, the men. Matrilineal societies inherit through the mother's lineage, but men may still hold power and property. Modern Western culture increasingly incorporates matrilineal practices like women keeping birth names after marriage. So understand this. Oh, God, this is so deep. Jesus' mother was his line. He didn't have a dad. His daddy was, Almighty God was his daddy. So he had to have a female lineage that he could move through, and he chose Mary. And that's why it becomes significant, because the heritage was matrilineal. They followed the genealogy of the mother. Didn't know any of that, did you? Huh? You guys think I'm just some stupid football coach. Didn't know any of this, right? And so over the course of time, we get what they call a patriarchy. Most sociologists argue that we still live, for the most part, under a patriarchy, meaning fathers in charge, yada, yada, yada. But patriarchal succession, scrolling down, this is so deep. I need a month on this. How many guys out there when you got married took your wife's name? None of you did, right? Because we're under a patrilineal succession in the United States. However, there was a time when there was a matrilineal succession. Jesus, that's why Catholics in particular think so much of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Why? Because she was a virgin. In other words, no man's seed ever entered her. And that became the matriarchal succession because she was the bearer of Christ. Who was Christ's daddy? Almighty God. So therefore, this matriarchal succession comes into Judaism and yada yada all down through. Am I doing okay out there? Somebody give me a thumbs up. Because you got to take a little bit of time to study this stuff, okay? So America now is a patriarchal, right? Although it's changing. Women's lib. We can see an evolution going on. And, right? When I don't know. It doesn't happen very often. But when in a divorce, does the woman have to pay alimony to the father? That hardly ever happens, does it? Because we're what? We're patriarchal. But back in these days, they were matriarchal. The lineage passed through the mother, okay? Oh, my goodness. So we know the 12 tribes. Now, here's a good question. What became of them? What became of the 12 tribes? Well, let's look at number 7, Spence. This is long. I'm not going to read all of it to you. But you want to know what happened to the 12 tribes? Read down through this. They're still Jewish. These Jewish people appeared to be lost to the world. They became the lost tribes of Israel. The 12 tribes, what happened to them? They became lost. Scroll on down, Spence. They migrated, the Jewish people of Ethiopia. Look, you can read this. I'm not going to take time to read all this to you. Huh? Beta Israel represents the largest Jewish group in Ethiopia. Go on down. By the way, you better hear me. Israel is matriarchal. And the only way you somebody tell me out there if they're smart. Somebody smart out there. Tell me the only way that you can become a Jew according to the Bible. How do you become a Jew? Come on.
I'm not going to wait. Bloodline?
You have to be born of a Jewish mother. Boom. Got to be born of a Jewish mother. So they had Beta Abraham. They had Gaphat, which is of southern Ethiopia. They descended out of Beta Israel. Go ahead. Go on down, Spencer. You got to do some research on your own. There was the Yiber in Hebrews. These Jewish people live as outcasts in edges of predominantly Muslim countries. There was Limba of southern Africa. Folks, these are lineages of Jews. Oral history, a large portion of the Limba is tested to possess Kohanian DNA, clearly affirming their ties to the ancient people of Israel. Then the Benai Menasha of India. I'm not going to read all of them. The lost. Who are the lost tribes? Who are they? Who are the lost tribes? I'm just giving you a quick overview here, okay? Who are the lost tribes? By the way, you better pull this up real quick, Spencer. Where is it? Hang on, Coach. Where is it? I'm looking at my chart here. Bear with me a second. No, that's not it. Where is it? I'm looking for the Bible verse. I know I put it in this somewhere. So hang on. Here, let's go. So, yeah, number 10. Pull up number 10. I'll get you in there a second, Adam, I promise. Because somebody said, I can't believe this. Pull up number 10. Who are the ones of the synagogue of Satan? What? Revelation, the book of Revelation, the term synagogue of Satan appears only twice in the Bible. In Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9. Both passages come from the letters written by Jesus to the churches in Asia Minor. In these letters, he warns believers about people who claim to be Jews but are not. And he calls them the synagogue of Satan. By the way, Christians weren't around then. So it could be those who claim to be Christians and are not. You understand? Are you with me? You with me? These are strong, sobering words. For many Bible readers, this phrase raises a serious question. Who exactly are the ones of the synagogue of Satan? Who are they? Understanding this term requires careful study of the passages and context. supported by what the rest of the scripture teaches us about false religions, hypocrisy, spiritual warfare, and God's definition of believers. This article will examine the biblical meaning of the term, identify the character traits of those it describes, and warn against common misunderstandings and abuses of the phrase. Jesus said, and I'm down now at the bottom, I know your works, tribulation, and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Christians. Oops, I'm sorry. Who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. The Christians in Smyrna were suffering poverty and persecution, and Jesus encouraged them, saying that he is aware of their struggles. He also points out that some of their opposition comes from people who claim to be Christians. I'm sorry, Jews, but are not, calling them the synagogue of Satan. These individuals were blaspheming the truth and troubling the faithful. Revelation 3:9, Jesus gives a similar message to the church. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Christians and are not, who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and know that I have loved you. Boy, here again, the same group is mentioned, those who say they are Christians, I'm sorry, Jews, but are not. Jesus says that these false individuals will one day be humbled and recognize the truth about his love for his people. In both of these verses, the phrase synagogue of Satan describes a group of people who claim to be part of God's chosen. Boom, Vinny! But act in opposition to the gospel. We'll read that again.
Boom.
In both verses, this phrase, synagogue of Satan, describes a group of people who claim to be part of God's chosen people, but act in opposition to the gospel. Jesus identifies their spiritual reality. Though they may be religious, their actions are aligned with the enemy of God. Oh my goodness. By the way, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to open it up here in a minute. I got so much more to give you. So listen, it's not an ethnicity identity. Hey, folks, you better catch this. Judaism and Christianity is not an ethnic identity, but it's a spiritual condition. Physical Christian versus a spiritual Christian. The people Jesus referred to may have been ethnically Christian. They grew up in a Christian home. They were baptized in a Christian home. But his concern was not about their bloodline. What? His concern wasn't about their bloodline. It was about their spiritual condition. Shazam, Andy! Paul explains this idea clearly in Romans. For he's not a Jew who's one outwardly, nor is the circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Christian who's one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit. Do you understand that Paul's writing, calling them Jews, because there weren't no Christians yet. Christianity wasn't here yet. He's bringing Christianity. In other words, being a true Jew in God's eyes is not about race or outward ritual. Let me ask you something. Can you convert to Judaism? Sammy Davis Jr. became a Jew. That's bloodline. How the H-E double hockey sticks does that happen? For he's not a Jew's one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, he is a Christian who is one inwardly in the circumcision of the heart, in the spirit. In other words, being a true Jew in God's eyes is not about race or outward ritual. It's about the heart. These individuals may have claimed to be the children of Abraham, but their heart is far from God. Jesus confronted these same issue during his ministry. He said in John 8:44, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the desire to do the works of Abraham. But you are of your father, the devil. Wow, this is so good, isn't it? And the desires of your father you're going to do. These were outwardly religious men, teachers of the law, but Jesus said they belonged to the devil. Their actions, rejecting Jesus, plotting murder, lying and hypocrisy, proved that their spiritual loyalty wasn't to God, but to Satan. This is the same principle at work in the synagogue of Satan. These are people who appear religious, who claim connection to God or his people, but who live and act in a way that serves the agenda of the devil. Boom! Put it in the chat. I'm going to shut up. Come on in, Adam.
Hey, Coach. Yeah, you're speaking a whole lot of truth today that nobody wants to hear.
Hey, Adam, I'm just reading it. I'm not speaking it, brother. I'm just reading it. That's all.
Amen. I just like to respond to something that somebody put in the chat. Not brother in Christ, like we can agree to disagree. But when people say that God's not done with Israel or God hasn't divorced Israel, God tells Israel, the kingdom of God has been taken away from you and given to another nation worthy of repentance. And so that word nation means Gentiles. So God is telling the Jews, I'm taking away the kingdom from you. You're no longer my people. You're no longer chosen. And now I'm giving it to the Gentiles. And through the Gentiles, some of you will become jealous and enter in through my son Christ. It's no longer about people groups. It's about individual relationships with Christ.
Doesn't have to do with lineage. Doesn't have to do with DNA. Doesn't have to do with any of that. Anybody who wants to can come. And we're not against Judaism. Judaism, praise the Lord, Judaism gave us Christ. He was a Jew, but he got born again. Oh, yeah, he did. Oh, yes, he did. How do I know that? Because when they baptized him, does anybody know what happened to him when they baptized him? When Jesus entered that water, what happened? Anybody know?
Come on. The Holy Spirit came down.
The Holy Spirit came down on him. He got born again. Now, hey, I'm playing loose with the phrase. I'm playing loose with the phrase. But clearly, Jesus in his flesh wasn't enough. He wasn't enough. He had to be born again. He said, marvel not that I say to you, you must be born again. He's hanging on the cross, and the guy beside him is hanging on the cross, and he says, hey, dude, hey, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Do you remember that? Do you remember that? Was that guy a Jew? Was that guy, what was his lineage? What crew was he from? What did Jesus say? Hey, dude, this day, me and you, bro, we're going to be in heaven together. He wasn't no Jew. Maybe he was. I don't know. Folks, if you think that there's a group of people that are special because of their DNA, you're anti-gospel. You're not anti-God. I'm not in a malicious way. I'm just telling you. Thanks, David. I'm just telling you the truth. James Thomas, come on in.
Hey, brother. How you doing? Praise Good. The Lord. That's the business. Yes, my question to you is, I don't let all this stuff, it just doesn't bother me. What pricks Dave's heart to go where you go when you go there? What spirit pricks your heart to do what? What you read in regards to the synagogue of Satan sounds like the Catholic Church. It really does if you compare the two. What difference is the synagogue of Satan in Revelation? The Catholic Church. There is so much demonic stuff in the Catholic Church, but you'd never go there. It's always there is a spirit, Dave, in this world. And let me tell you something. When we go some places we shouldn't probably go, it's being recorded by the Holy Spirit. You say you don't hate people or you don't hate the Jews. There is a spirit in this country, brother. When you grasp hold on it and it comes out of your mouth, the Holy Spirit that Dave says he hears, but the Holy Spirit of a man called Coach, right? That's what your thing says. If you really hear what you're saying, it's not really coming from the Holy Spirit. I can tell you. I love you, brother. But I challenge you sometimes when you go on these things that just does not edify the body of Christ. It does not build up people. It kind of turns you off. It really does. But I love you, man. I know the Holy Spirit has a plan for your life. If he can take the 40 years that it took Israel to get Egypt out of Israel, it takes 40 to 50 years to get Catholicism out of the brothers of Christ, to get really them divorcing. It's hard to do. So that's kind of the adventure we find ourselves on. Amen.
I think, amen. I'm sure you went a lot. You went a lot of different directions there. Here's what I know. Okay, look.
I love you, Rick, babe. I love you, man. I pray for you. I pray the Holy Ghost would just get a hold of your heart. I really do. But I'll end it there. I love Dave. I love Randy. I love everybody in this place.
Here's what we got to understand. Are y'all sitting down? You all think you're right. Vinny, that would be a boom. We all think we're right.
I got the Holy Spirit. I know I'm right. The word backs up what the Holy Spirit says.
I don't think so, brother. You don't think I have the Holy Spirit? Is that what you said? You don't think I have the Holy Spirit?
Brother, let me ask you. If you have the Holy Spirit, you will bear his fruit. His fruit in Galatians chapter 5 is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness. If you don't bear that fruit, brother, it doesn't ooze out of your pores. I have to wonder if the Holy Spirit is really ruling your life. That's all I'm saying.
James, go ahead. Hey, James, you don't know anything about me other than what you hear on this hour on this show.
I hear what comes out of your heart.
I would never make that accusation.
If you want to go this route, what's in your heart comes out of your mouth.
Of course.
Right. So is it love? Is it governed by love, joy?
You don't even understand what love is then. You don't even understand that. When the Lord loves, he chases us. Sometimes love don't feel like love.
Love is just.
Jeezy, criminy. Of all the things to accuse me of, brother.
In the last days.
But tell me I'm not a little horse. Get him off.
Jesus said in Matthew 24.
You don't even know me. Get him off.
Jesus said it in Matthew 24. I will leave it at this. In Matthew 24.
I don't care where you leave it, dude. If we're going to get into who has the biggest Bible verse, we'll be here all day. Get him off.
That's where I figured this would go. This is what's in your heart.
You figured it because you got it all right and I got it all wrong. I get it. I'm sorry. I didn't understand you had it all right and I had it all wrong. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, Coach, I'll just say this, since for anybody who wants to stand up for Jews and for the nation of Israel, the Babylonian Talmud specifically says about Jesus that Jesus is the bastard child of a whore, calling the mother of Jesus a whore. Then it says he practiced black magic and is burning in human and animal excrement in hell for practicing black magic. So when you stick up for Christ rejecting, Christ hating, the nation of Israel, you are standing up for an antichrist group of people. The Bible specifically says if they don't have the Son, they don't have the Father. And the Bible says that anyone who denies that the Son has come, that one is an antichrist. Since Jews deny Christ, they are antichrist. So, Coach, I'm not denying you have the Holy Spirit. You love the Lord. And just because you disagree with somebody else's theology doesn't equal salvation or lack thereof. And excuse me and forgive me for everybody, but that was ignorant.
So here's the thing, folks. Here's the thing. I don't want to turn this into an arguing match, wrestling match. That's why we have 42,000 Christian denominations. And I'm going to say this in my own defense, 2,613 shows. Not bad for a guy who doesn't have the Holy Spirit. Not bad. Huh? And you want me to believe that some of you are drawn here not by the Holy Spirit? What? Come on in, Brett. Don't come in there and defend me and tell me what a wonderful guy is and all that. Don't do that to me. I know what I was. I know what I am. I know what happened to me. I know the moment that I received Christ. I know the moment I received the Holy Spirit. I don't have to quantify it to you.
And I'm not trying to stand. I love you, Coach. Hey, this locker room will protect you. Some guys need duct tape to the goalpost and sleeping out at night.
Let's not attack him. He's trying to say what he believes. It's okay. Go ahead. Was that it, Brett? Hey, we're not here to fight.
I'll listen to my head coach because I'm ready to defend my head coach, but I'm going to listen.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks. You're allowed to disagree. We're allowed to disagree.
Huh? Coach, I love you, brother. I really do. I love you with a passion. You don't know how much I
play. No, you don't. No, you don't.
Say what you want, brother.
I
lift your name up before the Lord a lot. I really do.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You don't know me. You don't know my family. You don't know anything I do. You know this 1 hour here every day. That's what I'd say.
Hey, Coach.
How about Mark Trump? Mark Trump knows me. What do you think, Mark? Look, I don't need to defend my – I can't even believe I'm sitting here defending myself.
I think we all should have a certain behavior. And this is your show. We come on here to feed. You're offering us food, and then we go somewhere else and get food. Who is us to kick the plate in your face? That's rude.
Amen. Amen. Nobody else. Don't defend me. Please don't come in and tell me, oh, you're just the most wonderful. No, that's not what I want to talk about. We're talking about what it means to be born again and who is a child of the King. That's what we're talking about here today. All right. Come on in, Vinny.
All right. So, love is telling the truth even when it hurts. All right. That's what it is. Right. Yes, so Adam mentioned about the Talmud and what it says about Jesus. Right. Now that's not love. There's no way that can be construed as love. And the stuff that's going on right now, we can't construe any of that as love. It's hatred. Right. And and the Bible talks about truth and love. And you call out hatred when you see it. That's all it is.
So then as a football coach, truth, as a football coach, it was my job to discipline kids. And they didn't feel like it was loving. But at the end of the day, they understood. Same thing with my own children. Didn't feel like love, but it was love. Randy, thanks, Vinny. Hey, listen, don't everybody gang up on Jim. It's okay. Go ahead, Randy.
Yeah, Coach. Any doctrine that accepts, tolerates, complicit, whatever you want to call it, any doctrine that allows genocide, murder, thievery, deception, everything you can
sit down, Randy, you're breaking up.
Okay, you're not, Coach.
Well, you're breaking up. Are you walking around or what? Because you're breaking up.
No, I'm just trying to.
Go ahead. We hear you good. We hear you good now.
So, Coach, any doctrine that allows evil and says it's okay for now, we're getting to somewhere, we're going to the end times, and we need this to happen, that is not a doctrine of God, Coach. It never was, and it never will be. And that's what dispensationalism doctrine does. It's going to allow Israel to do whatever they want, whatever evil they want, when they want it, where they want it. And it's just getting bigger and bigger. This is not going away. It's not because we're fulfilling prophecy. It's because no one will deal with this evil elephant in the room. And, Coach, you're dealing with it, and that's why you're getting pushback, Coach. So I'm not going to attack anybody individually. But let's just I'll say this last thing, Coach, that – the Holy Spirit can be in Christians. There's Zionist indoctrinated Christians everywhere. But sure. Guess what, Coach? When you're not in truth and step with him in truth, he's very grieved. Doesn't mean you don't have the Holy Spirit. I would rephrase anybody that said you don't have the Holy Spirit, Coach. That's not true. That's a lie, because you do. But, amen. Coach, you can still grieve him, and you can quench the Spirit, and there's other things you can do that makes him step away from you for a while. Yep. And that is very possible. But to say that you don't not have the Holy Spirit, there's an issue. So,
well, especially Randy, if we don't really know. I know.
Well, it's telling me, Coach, that I love my doctrine more than you do, than anything else on the earth. That's what I'm saying.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Randy. David Arthur, let's go quickly. Tell story, not slide.
I just say this: the Spirit of righteousness, right, is of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the fruits are love, joy, peace, kindness, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Teaching is love. did people claim Jesus the Christ was actually being hateful and unholy when he was teaching and when he was offending people? No.
He called them a brood of vipers and
not,
dead men's bones and
exactly.
All
ignorance is not bondage, is not bliss. Ignorance is bondage. And that's what we have to understand. It's not about being anti-gospel. It's about being ignorant. And being ignorant is not such a terrible thing. It's just something to recognize that we have
you
to.
You just don't know. That's right.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. I think there's a pretty free flow of ideas here, to be honest with you. Jeff Nares, come on in.
Hey, Coach, just a question and then a statement. If you have the Holy Spirit and I have the Holy Spirit, does the Holy Spirit deal with us the exact same way?
No.
Okay, now here's my statement. The fruits of the Spirit are expressed differently from each person. You express the fruits of the Spirit differently than I would in some occasions. True?
Yeah, of course. Yes.
That's it. It's as simple as that. It's because as simple as those two things.
We're different personalities, man.
That's all there is to it.
Let me go back to my coaching. When I had a coach, I was head coach and had good assistant coaches around me. I said this the other day. Sometimes a man's got to know his limitations, and I would go to Coach Norm, say, Norm, you go talk to him so I don't have to. You go talk to him. Because you may say something the right way. And I got the Holy Spirit, but sometimes he ain't going to receive what I have to say.
Exactly.
Right? He won't receive it from me. He's not going to receive it from me. And then, oh my goodness.
And the fruits you express are expressed differently than the fruits I express or whatever in some occasions. That's right. It's that simple. Keep it simple.
You know them by their fruit, baby. Dave Allison, come on in. Thanks, Doug. Hey, folks, please don't tell me what a wonderful guy I am. That's not what this is about. Come on in, Dave.
No, good morning, everyone. Yeah. So David Arthur coined a phrase that I love. And this is unfortunately what the other brother was talking about. This is what we've fallen into as Christians. We're loving people to death.
Mm.
We're not loving them to life, right? We're loving them to death. That's why the homosexual feels comfortable when he comes into the church. That's why whatever, they feel comfortable in whatever they're in because we're loving them to death. We're not loving them into righteousness and truth. And that's when it hurts. I was listening to a pastor that we'd all know probably in this queue, and you can't say he's not a man of doesn't have the Holy Spirit, but there was something that he taught for years that he's now changed his mind on. Did he not have the Holy Spirit his whole life? I don't think so. I think he did. What he said is actually what changed his mind is he read the Bible and he found out the things that he was taught were not true. So, again, I think he had the Holy Spirit the whole time. It was just once he was educated, he found out that things that he was taught were in conflict with what that scriptures actually said.
And Dave, I think that for instance, Dave, I wonder how
don't
many
people with that.
I wonder how many people listening to this show didn't know that Semite didn't mean Jew. I wonder how many people listening to this never knew that. Never knew that.
Coach, I've been watching the show now for 7 years. I haven't found anything yet that I didn't already know. just kidding.
Thanks, man. In the multitude, many counselors is great wisdom. Mary Beth coming in, then Adam, and back to Randy. Go ahead, Mary Beth.
I was a supervisor at the post office, Coach. So my heart does want to defend you because I had to do the hard thing for 17 years, and it was not fun. And I would do the same thing again because I ran a tight ship and people did their jobs. So it's hard not to defend you, but so I am defending you.
All right. Thanks, Mary Beth. Yeah. I mean, people can disagree with me. I mean, enough said. Thanks, Mary Beth. Adam.
I'll just say one more thing and I'll shut up, Coach. The Bible says that the kingdom of God.
Go ahead.
The Bible says in the kingdom of God, there is neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female. We are all made one in Christ. It's not about being Jewish, and it's not about being against Judaism. It's about surrendering to the lordship of Christ. And if you do that, Jewish or Gentile, it doesn't matter. We are made one. God is not a respecter of men.
Adam, you would agree with me that there's only one way to heaven, and it's not birthright.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
It isn't who your mommy and daddy was and what your spiritual lineage was. There's one way to heaven, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Do the Jews accept the blood of Jesus Christ as a propitiation for their sin?
No.
No. No. I don't understand the confusion, folks. The life of me. I don't get it. Jeff Klein, come on in.
Coach, did you notice the first 5 minutes of your show I had my hand up? I hate to do that right away. Yeah, I hate to do that.
I did, then you left, yeah.
But the first 5 minutes, here's what I was going to say. This is just a statement that come to my mind right now. I've known you for 25 years. Hung out with you. We've done a lot. I don't always agree with you. Not always. You know
dummy?
What I mean?
You dummy?
Yeah. But it's just like with Trump. We ain't always going to agree with everything he does or anybody. And when I am in places, people aren't always going to agree with me. But we got to quit tearing each other down. I'm tired of that. That's it.
Me too. Trent, Mary Beth, you still got your hand. Take it down makes me nervous there. Go ahead, Trent.
There is a spirit out there right now that is of the Zionist Jew hatred that will put it under anything. You know, they'll claim all types of stuff. This, you know, they just hate all anything Jew related if you just say the name. That spirit is out there. They celebrated when their country has been getting bombed. You know, they're posting on the internet that, you know, basically, God's people are getting bombed. Hooray, basically. You know, so that's different. And then you have this, hey, you're doing it wrong attitude that the righteous, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the righteous anger that we have against anyone who goes against Jesus Christ. So there are two different levels out there. One's right. Amen.
Amen. That's right. And we need to have, Holy Spirit guides us into all truth, right? Huh? Oh, man, let me catch my breath here. Who did I say? Let's get Dr. Paul. We haven't been here yet. Good, Paul. Appreciate you, Paul.
Oh, Coach, you know, I just kind of plugged in AI. Was Jesus ever wrong? And, of course, he was fully human. He was fully divine. But he was never morally wrong. Right. And so I thought to myself, I've had more room for mistakes as a physician than you could ever imagine. The fact is, I've learned from a lot of my mistakes, Coach.
Yeah.
I mean, I've made some real errors. I actually may have even prescribed birth control in my very early on. I mean, they introduced indoctrinated all the docs. But I'll be honest, I'm always on my best behavior these days because I always question what I do, Coach.
Well, Paul, here's one of the things that I can say, and I'm trying to defend myself. When you say something to me, Paul, I take it to heart. Can I tell you why? You know me. We've actually been in the same room. Yeah. We spent time together. I've looked into your eyes, and you've looked into mine. And if you're judging who I am based on this show, well, I'm sorry. I've looked Randy in the eye. I've looked Dave Allison in the eye. I've looked Vinny in the eye. I've looked a lot of these people in the eye. I know them.
Yeah.
Right? Come on, man.
Strong.
To figure out who I am based on this, we call it a show. It's not a show. I don't know what else to call it. Who I got here? Vinny, come on in.
Yeah, this is to the wicked people out there. Hey, so Coach, do you think that the wicked should not be hated for the evil that they do?
I think they should.
Right? So you see the depositions of Hillary and Bill Clinton? You see them trying to escape culpability by trying to shove off what they do. Oh, that didn't really happen? That's right. Because they know they deserve to be hated for what they did.
Right. That's right.
That's it.
Wait, see, that's what judgment is all about, folks. Judgment. See, Jesus, don't miss this, okay? Jesus is hanging on the cross, two guys beside him. One guy says, remember me. If you're God, get us down. Get us out of here, if you're God. And the other guy says, shut up. He says, hey, remember me when you come into your kingdom. the difference between anger and repentance. And the guy said, you know, I don't really know. I don't really know if you're God or not. But dude, if you are, forgive me and remember me when you come into your kingdom. There's two different views on the thing, man. Two different views. Randy.
Yeah, Coach, can you hear me?
Yeah. Got a cold, yeah. Sounds like you got a cold.
Yeah, been fighting some stuff for a while now.
Randy, you know me, don't you? Randy, you've been in the room with me, spent some time with me?
Yeah, I know you, Coach.
Okay, so then I value what you say. I value what you say because I know you. Go ahead.
Well, Coach, have you seen, Coach, what I've been part of and we've done and accomplished for the kingdom of God? Does that have any value? Does that have any honor? I think it does, Coach, and that's why I honor you, because I see the fruit. Uh-huh. I mean, for anyone not to see the fruit, what you've done is just amazing. But Coach, I'm an apostolic guy. I believe in the doctrine of the New Testament, the apostolic doctrine, the context. Why would Paul write and write and write almost in every letter he wrote? And he told them, he said, there's now, there's no more difference in the Jew and the Gentile. Mm-hmm. Why is he making that point, Coach? Why did Jesus have to make a point and point out to those Pharisees, you're of the Father, the devil? Why? Because, Coach, this is the opposition against opposition. This is the seed of the woman against the seed of the serpent, Coach.
Yes, sir. Yep.
This is what we're dealing with. And for us to say, well, wait a minute, the apostles were right, but one day God's going to have to break that. He's going to have to break that apostolic doctrine, and he's going to have to contradict himself to make something happen. No, it's never going to happen. And that doctrine, Coach, that says this is all going to come to pass in the last days and that God's going to raise up that remnant Israel and all that, that's not true, Coach. It's not true. And we're trying to tear that down just with simple truth. And you know, we are going to get attacked because that's a strong, strong delusion. But, Coach, you're doing it. God bless you.
Well, can I tell you the truth? Well, I always try to tell you the truth. I don't know how this whole thing's going to play out. Folks, I can read the Bible. I can read the book of Revelation. I can read it. But I'm sorry. I don't think it's as clear as a lot of people trying to make it. I don't think it is. So I trust but verify. And I'll be daggone if I'm going to live my life waiting for the end of the world to come. What the heck? What was my life about? If I just live my life waiting for the rapture, to be raptured out of here. Really? Really? And there's so much of modern Christianity, that's the focus of it. It's just going to get worse, yada, yada, yada. Well, I'm a watchman, right? I'm born again of the Spirit of God. I'm here to advance a kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Go ye into all the world and teach them to observe all I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So there is an end of the age, but it ain't here yet. And so much of Christianity is focusing on the end. I was thinking about it the other day. I'm 73 years old, and what my grandkids are going to think when I'm not around anymore. I hope they're 30 and 40 years old. I hope I live to be 100, because the void that will be in their life because Grampy's not around is just going to be something, man. It's going to be something. And so am I going to spend all my time that I have this opportunity now to build into the lives of my children and my grandchildren, where I'm going to sit around and talk to them about the end of the days? It's incredible, man. It's incredible. Come on, Trump.
There's just a bit of etiquette that I think we all should realize. I'm at work. I'm in Atlanta. And if I had a conflict with someone speaking, I got to look around and say, who's in the room? Maybe I need to take this one-on-one. And if it's a difference in opinion and you bring it up in front of everybody, you're just making yourself at risk.
Yeah.
And you get this. So whenever it comes to matters of doctrine, the way I am, Coach, is sometimes it gets to a point where I can't keep my mouth shut. I got to speak out, no matter what the situation. So yes, I've seen this happen before. But we got to be careful, because you could break. This is how people leave your cue, Coach. This right here.
Right here.
There's even other people watching that'll leave your cue, seeing y'all's interaction.
Yep.
So we as members of your queue need to respect the forum you set up. And we need to think before we object to something. Is it something I should bring up in this forum, or should I wait and bring up Coach 101?
Good
I
vibe.
Would recommend that for every single person here, because I have trouble with that. You know it.
So, yeah, I can learn from that too. I can do better at that too.
Well, just in the name of Jesus, I pray that each of us will hold our tongues and say what the Holy Spirit would have us say. And if it's contradictory in the middle of a forum like this, that we need to check ourselves and make sure that's what the Holy Spirit's talking to us about. Okay.
Amen. Or well, not only that, Mark, in the right situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Dave, this is JT. James, I'm sorry. I ask you to forgive me, brother.
I forgive
you. I love you. I forgive me, brother.
I forgive you, brother. I forgive you.
And every brother and sister here, every brother and sister on this huddle, I ask you to forgive me as well.
Amen.
I hope to meet you in June there, Dave. I'm trying to get out of there.
Okay, brother. It's all good. It's all good. Kevin Van Story quickly. Thanks, Mark. Go ahead, Kevin. Quickly.
There's a whole bunch of people in this world that think they know something when they know nothing. And I think scripture even says those learned are nothing but fools. So we have to check ourselves. Amen. I've looked you in the eye, Dave.
Yep.
I love you, Dave. Thanks. I love you as a brother in Christ. And if you told me, Kevin, I need you here as soon as possible, I'd move heaven and earth to get there.
You know why that is, Kevin? Because I'd do the same for you.
I know that.
Yep.
You've done it. Thank you.
Amen. Amen, buddy. Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, I got to throw this in just before the show's over. Did you guys see this? Spencer, pull it up real quickly. Number two, Obama has lawyered up. Have you guys seen this? Something's happening here. Huh? Oh, yeah. Real quickly here, Obama just lawyered up. March 2nd, Barack Obama retained a team of 9 criminal defense attorneys, not civil, not advisory, criminal. The same man who told you hope and change is now preparing for a federal grand jury subpoena expected March 2nd. The $150 billion lie. In 2016, Obama sent $150 billion and $1.7 billion in physical cash, pallets of money loaded onto cargo planes in the middle of the night. He told you it was for a nuclear deal. It wasn't. The DOJ files released yesterday show that $2.3 billion of Epstein's network ran through Iranian banks, Deutsche Banks, J.P. Morgan, and Bank Mellon in Iran, a state-owned bank under Obama's nuclear deal exemptions. Obama didn't pay Iran to stop enriching uranium. He paid Iran to store the evidence. And the server farm, the black tapes, I'm going to stop here because I'm about out of time. Folks, one of the things they did when they went into there is they got all the records. They were all supposed to be burned and destroyed. Two days ago, Lawrence Summers, Obama's top economic advisor and former Harvard president, resigned from Harvard without an explanation. His name appears on the Butterfly Foundation recipient, $340 million Epstein Trust. Summers met with Epstein 14 times. Huh? Bill Clinton testified under subpoena before the House Committee. First time in history, former president was deposed. Criminal investigation. Hillary testified silently. Folks, assets, not money, not invest. Evidence. They got the evidence. They've got the evidence. Every dot connects. Every dollar traces back. Every lie has an expiration date. And Obama's just expired. The grand jury meets March 7th. Share this. The world needs to see the full picture of what was
going on.
Huh? Oh, boy. Let righteousness roll down like a mighty river. Huh? God bless you. See you tomorrow.